The Innovators Network.
Hello, my name is Phil McKinney, and I'm the Chief Technology Officer for Hewlett Packard's Personal Systems Group. And I've been asked to share with you my experiences of my wife and I taking care of my parents and the impact on my family, and specifically changes that I had to make to our family, to our houses, in order to enable the support for my parents, and my parents needed it. Let me give you some background. My wife is a registered nurse. She's a neonatal intensive care nurse, specializing in level 3 critical care situations. And I have 3 kids, 2 daughters and a son. Now, a little background on my parents. My father was a salesman in the machine tool industry, worked 43 years for the same company. My mom and my dad were high school sweethearts. They married 1 week after my dad graduated from high school, went on a 1 week vacation, came back, and my dad started working for the company that he ultimately spent 43 years with. My mom was very athletic. She actually had an athletic scholarship to Ohio State University, turned that down when she married my father, but remained very active athletically, and eventually bowled on the professional women's bowling circuit for many years when I was much younger. In 1978, my father was diagnosed with IHSS, or idiopathic hypertrophic subaortic stenosis, or cardiomyopathy, basically a heart condition that severely restricts your ability to do a lot of physical activities because you tire very, very easily. That's kind of what triggered, I think, a lot of the health problems for my parents, because in 1981, my mother was diagnosed with multiple sclerosis. And so that kind of started the whole process of 1978 to 1981, when their health specifically started to get worse. By 1989, my mother required live-in help. During this time frame, when my mom was first diagnosed, we were living in Silicon Valley in San Jose, and I was working here. And my brother was also based here in San Francisco, so there was no real family back in Chicago to help. In 1987, I guess it was, my wife and I made the decision to move back to Chicago in order to help start taking care of my parents. They were still living in the same house that I grew up as a child in Chicago. But by 1989, my mom required full-time live-in help. She still drove, and very hard to take the keys away from her, but she still drove herself around. But she required somebody in the house 24/7. My parents had a traditional tri-level house in the suburbs of Chicago, and my mom absolutely refused to move out of the house. In 1992, my mother suffered a severe heart attack, and a little bit of background here. When she suffered the heart attack, her body shut down, which resulted in loss of blood flow to the legs. And because of her multiple sclerosis, the blood flow never returned when they were able to save her from her heart attack. The result is that she lost both her legs just above the knees. She spent about 4 months in rehabilitation between the Rehabilitation Center in Chicago and physical rehab before she could move back home. And again, she absolutely refused to move out of the house. A tri-level with no bathroom on the main floor, causing a lot of having to rethink how my parents could live in the same house. We did everything from buying a very expensive, exotic chair system where my mom's wheelchair could roll back into it, and then this thing literally physically climbed the stairs so that both my father, myself, or the live-in help could actually bring her up and down the stairs. The stairs were not wide enough for a traditional rail chair system in the house. So that was kind of my first experience on how do you modify living conditions so that people can live in the home that they want to live in. During this time, I was relocated from Illinois to Virginia as part of my job. When we first moved to Virginia, we built a log house out in the rural parts of the base of the Blue Ridge Mountains. Now, my background, my original major in college was architecture, so I spent a lot of time designing this house, and right from the beginning, immersed myself into learning the modifications that I needed to make to this house so that my parents could come and visit. My brother lives in San Francisco in a very traditional San Francisco, you know, less than 1,400 square foot, 3-story, very narrow stairs, and my parents had no way to go visit him in San Francisco. but I wanted to have a way for my parents to come to Virginia and spend some time with my wife and I, but more importantly, the grandkids. I have the only grandkids on my side of the family. So we did things in the log house, such as requiring 36-inch doors, pedestal sink such that a wheelchair could come up underneath the sink, a very open floor plan, not a lot of walls, such that you could move the furniture around, but have a lot of space to allow for the wheelchair. Double wide width staircases, so I could, if needed to, get my parents up and down, my mom up and down stairs if I needed to. And more importantly, putting in the wheelchair ramps right from the beginning. So from the driveway right up to the front door, an extra wide wheelchair ramp that my mom could actually wheel herself up if she wanted to, or someone could easily help her to do that. The other modification I did, because where we lived was fairly rural, is to put in a whole house backup generator. By this time, my mom's health had gotten much worse. She was now on feeding tubes. She also suffered not only from multiple sclerosis, but also from Crohn's. She had severe swallowing disabilities, so her ability to eat and swallow was now degraded. And so now she was on feeding tubes, which means it was important that I had a consistent power source where we lived also. So I put in a whole house backup propane generator to ensure that when they did come to visit, that we wouldn't run into any kind of medical issues. Well, if I had only known how much foresight and prediction of the future that was, in 1998, both of my parents' health had become much worse. They had been in and out of hospitals in Chicago, and every time they went in or out of the hospitals, my wife had to hop on an airplane and fly to Chicago to manage their health care situation there. My kids would stay in Virginia, and fortunately, we actually homeschool our children. So we had a little bit of flexibility for them to actually go to Chicago with my wife sometimes to help take care of the grandparents. So we were able to work around the situation. But eventually, by 1998, the health situation had gotten so bad that we made the decision to move them from Chicago into with us in Virginia, which would require that they would eventually have to sell the house in Chicago and really complete the relocation. The other thing that kind of triggered this was my father was finally forced to take a medical retirement. He just wasn't not physically able to keep up with his job, given his cardiac situation. So, originally I built this log house for five people with the anticipation that my kids would graduate and move on, get married, and that would just be my wife and I. So I built a little bit on the smaller side so it wouldn't be too large. But now with my parents moving in, I have my wife, myself, three kids, my parents, and 24/7 live-in help. So now a house that was designed for five, which was really a little tight for five, but really think of it as about a house designed for four people, now has eight. Plus, under law, when you have live-in help, you have to give them a private room with a private bath versus sharing it with the rest of the family. So this required huge modifications to the house in order to be compliant with the law in order to have live-in help. So we went through this whole process, and after about a year and a half, with this fairly small house with eight people living in it, it just became quite evident that this was not going to work out. We needed to do something different. So we actually sold the house. We purchased a new house. And basically, when we went through this whole process of buying, looking for a second house, we went to the realtors and we said, can you identify houses that are, quote, handicap friendly, meaning houses that would be easy to be modified or houses that were already modified? There's no way, at least back in that time frame, that you could easily look up for houses through the real estate agents to find houses that that were, quote, handicapped accessible. So we spent literally months and months and months looking. Never really found anything. We had looked at a house once before. It was a very large. It was basically an old center aisle dairy barn on 10 acres that had been gutted and converted into a house. So it had a very, very large first floor. Basically, it was a first floor. It had three floors total in the house, but the first floor was literally the entire size of this barn. And after looking at it and thinking about it, we realized it was our best option was to buy this and then modify it in order to support the handicapped access. So we basically bought this house, literally gutted about a third of the entire first floor, And in that part of the house, we built for my parents their own bedroom, their own living room, a fully handicapped accessible mini kitchen for them, a handicapped bath with full flat roll-in showers. Through this entire space, we built in electronic lift tracking system into the ceiling so my mom could get up out of bed, easily move over, get into her chair in the living room to watch TV, or actually take the entire track system all the way into the bathroom. And again, for me, it was important to give my parents the feeling of privacy and dignity. It was very hard for them the year before, 18 months before, to move in with my wife and I and the kids. You know, they never viewed it themselves as being dependent on us to take care of them. So for me, it was very important to put in technologies and put in methods to where they could become as self-sufficient as possible. We still had full-time live-in care helping with them. My mom, with being a double amputee and having MS, which means she didn't have a lot of muscle strength, still needed a lot of help in the showers. And my wife, having had previously two back surgeries as a result of nursing, my wife was not in a situation to be able to physically help her. So we put in a lot of assisted help in order to make it very easy to lift my mother, move her around, get her into the bathroom, be able to get her into a wheelchair. On the outside of the house, we replaced all the steps with full ramps. At this point, I had also bought a full handicapped accessible van so that my mom could get in easily in with a wheelchair lift, be able to get into the van. The van had enough seats that we could all get in one vehicle and go on trips, etc. Likewise, I also put in a full backup generator. The one thing I just had learned from the log house, etc., was that the importance of power, particularly with all the medical equipment. And really, you know, most houses not thinking through the situation of what happens if you do lose power and you have someone that is solely dependent on the medical care. And about this same time, my father's health had gotten much worse. He now was in kidney failure. So now he was in kidney dialysis. So between my mom's being a double amputee, my father was now on nighttime kidney dialysis. So at this time, there was a new kidney dialysis machine that had just been invented that basically allowed you to go through your kidney dialysis at home at night. So basically, you plugged in yourself at night and the dialysis happened while you slept. But now power and those kinds of things even became critically important. And also at this point, the total number of people living in the house were 9. So needing enough space to be able to take care of them. So I think the key that I learned here is that, you know, in the log house, I was able to design the house with 36-inch doors in order to get the wheelchairs easily through. You look for arc turns around the kitchen such that someone in a wheelchair could feel like they can participate and help in the kitchen, but easily be able to get around things like the bathroom and making sure even the guest powder room was accessible. When we went to modify the barn house, the biggest problem was the doorways weren't wide enough. The bathrooms that already existed became a real problem because they weren't designed. They had narrower doors, very short turning radiuses. The sink is put in the wrong place relative to being able to allow somebody with a wheelchair to be able to get in. And so the result was that the bathroom that I built for my parents also became the bathroom when we did have other friends who were handicapped to be able to use that bathroom. And actually, I think many of them appreciated the fact that the house was very easy for them to come and visit. My oldest daughter had two friends that were handicapped that she had befriended in college who were very comfortable coming to the house and be able to stay there and spend the weekends, because they knew that there was facilities to allow them to feel comfortable and be able to participate and enjoy the weekend without actually, you know, needing or requiring any special help. So to kind of close this off, just so you know, my mom passed away in December of 2000. Finally, her complicated health situation, finally she succumbed to antibiotic-resistant staph in the hospital and passed away in December of 2000. At that point, my parents had been married since high school. I think the death of my mom finally caught up to my father. And my dad passed away in July of 2002. So roughly, you know, almost 18 months after my mom passed away. We've recently sold this Virginia house. At this point, my two daughters had gotten married, gone to college, gotten their master's degree, are now married. And my son, so at this point, it was just my wife and my son living in this big, massive house designed to have, you know, seven bedrooms and lots of bathrooms and all the handicapped accessibility built into this house. So we just sold this house in December of 2007. We're now located in San Jose, and it's just my wife and myself since my daughters are married and my son is in college. Now, kind of as a reflection on kind of looking back over those years is, one, I wouldn't change a thing. If my option was to have my parents have to live in an assisted living facility or being able to live with us for whatever time they had left, with all the modifications and all the frustrations, I wouldn't have done anything differently. The other challenge, I think, reflection was, is back when we were doing this, there wasn't a lot of information, particularly with people who weren't familiar with the struggles and strains of modifying houses or how do you design for handicapped accessibility. That information since the mid-90s is much, much better. But I think there's more that could be done, particularly with new family members who are addressing you know, these kinds of situations. The other thing is that in many cases, people think about it too late. When my parents bought their house in Chicago, they never contemplated buying the house with the understanding that they were going to have one or both of them would have medical situations. So people tend to think about these things way too late. So recently we bought the house in San Jose. We've been in the house for a while now. But I can tell you during the process of my wife and I going out and looking for houses and try to figure out what did we want in a house, my wife is so tuned in now to the situations of what happened with my parents, you know, that she was actually out there measuring door jams. Are these 36-inch doors? If they're not 36-inch doors, we're not interested. How's the wheelchair access? Can someone get in the front door? What doors would you bring people in if they wanted to come visit and they were handicapped? Sinks, showers, baths. Are they pedestal sinks or are they cabinet sinks where you can't get up underneath them? How open is the floor plan? And the other thing was, is how do you get people to the second floor? You know, in California, if you, with the very small lots here in California, you know, if you have any kind of, you know, square footage, it's a two-story house. How do you get people to the second floor? So we actually worked with the people that we were buying the house from. The house was a new build, but it is already about 80 or 85% done. We actually had the builder lay out and work out the situation such that if we, my wife and I, either one of us, ever got ourselves into a situation where we were restricted to a wheelchair, that where would the elevator go? Where could we put an elevator in that would allow us to get from the first floor to the second floor where the master bedroom is? We actually tried to find a house with a master bedroom on the first floor, not very common, but the house we do own, we actually have it pre-designed in such that if we ever needed to, we could, in effect, put an elevator in that would allow us to get from the first floor house to the second floor house. The other is recognizing the unique needs for live-in help. As the boomer generation gets older, it isn't just about, you know, handicapped accessibility for the people who are handicapped, but also about how do you design and support people who are providing the live-in care, who are allowing people to stay in their home for longer periods of time, such as how do you segment space? How do you give privacy between the live-in people who are living within the house, but who also need time away such that they have a part of the house that they can go to and rejuvenate and recharge, and you've got a little bit of a separation? Because my history over many, many years of having live-in help, somebody staying in the house 24/7, 365 days a year to help take care of my parents, closeness is not always a good thing sometimes. You need a little bit of separation. The other is, you know, the whole issue of privacy and also about supervision. Early with my mom in the live-in help, we had a horrible experience as I'm trying to hire good help to be able to take care of my mom. But also, a lot of the technologies that we put into the house, for instance, in the Virginia house, was designed to make it easier on the live-in help so that it wasn't such a physical job that they could spend more of their time providing, you know, the medical care, but also the companionship and the friendship with my parents, and less about, you know, lifting and hauling and toting and doing the physical things. So a lot of the technologies we put in place was to take that burden off of the live-in help. And I think, you know, the last years of my mom's life actually were very fulfilling. The fact that we did homeschool our kids, they were able to spend their last years with them. But it was really a learn by on the job kind of a situation to figure out what modifications work, what modifications didn't work, what tracking systems work, what didn't work. You think you figured it all out in the bathroom, but it isn't all figured out. But in our situation, we think, at least in my opinion, is that more and more people are going to go through this situation of how do you take care of aging parents while also taking care of your kids and thinking about the home situations and how do you bring in the right things to help them have a fulfilling life for whatever time is remaining. So hopefully this is what you were looking for, give you a little bit of background and perspective, and thank you for listening.
This show is distributed by the Innovators Network. For more information and other great shows and content, visit theinnovators.network.